Most federal spending is mandatory, things like entitlement programs and federal debt payments. The Super Committee, formerly known as the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction, avoided that elephant and focused instead on the other 40% of federal spending known as discretionary. That may seem odd, Republican co-chair Texas Congressman Jeb Hensarling acknowledged.
In many respects, today we may be debating the pennies, nickels, and dimes in a debt crisis that is demanding half dollars and dollar bills.
Half of the $1.3 trillion in discretionary spending goes to defense. Co-chair Patty Murray, Democratic senator from Washington, says the rest is low-hanging fruit.
Congress has gone to this relatively small pot with cuts and spending caps again and again, while leaving many other pieces of the budget essentially untouched, including the law that created this joint committee, which cut roughly $800 billion in discretionary spending.
The super committee is supposed to come up with a plan to cut $1.5 trillion from the federal deficit. Murray asked Congressional Budget Office Director Doug Elmendorf how cuts in discretionary spending could help reach that goal.
Even if we completely eliminated discretionary funding, everything from NIH to elementary and secondary education, military-based construction, national parks, processing Social Security checks, all of it, we would still face deficits of hundreds of billions of dollars because we've not addressed entitlements and revenues.
I've not done that precise calculation, Senator, but you're most definitely right that discretionary spending is, and as Congressman Hensarling also noted, a shrinking share of federal outlays over time. And entitlement programs, mandatory spending is a growing share of federal outlays, in some cases growing rather rapidly. And without addressing that path of spending, it would be extremely difficult to put the budget on a sustainable path.
What's more, he said, veterans' health benefits, Pell Grants, and other programs may crumble without additional money.
Moreover, some observers believe that current policies in some areas are insufficient to meet the nation's future needs. For example, many analysts believe that current national spending on infrastructure is inadequate to provide enough roads, bridges, and other capital assets to maintain the current level of services or to fund all the projects for which benefits exceed costs.
Lowering federal workers' pay may hamper efforts to hire and keep skilled workers and reduce federal services, Elmendorf added in his written testimony. Discretionary spending is at the lowest point as a share of GDP since 2002 and set to shrink lower. But Congressman Hensarling said some agency budgets have grown during the recession.
When you add in the stimulus, the Commerce Department has grown 219% from 08 to 10. That with the stimulus, EPA has grown 130.8%. The Energy Department has grown 170.7% with the stimulus. Education has grown 180.6% at a time when the economy has actually seen negative economic growth and family paychecks have shrunk.
The Budget Control Act that Congress passed recently imposes a 10-year cap on discretionary spending, not including the money going to war or emergency operations. California Congressman Javier Becerra asked Elmendorf to measure that discretionary funding against tax breaks.
Whether it's for Pentagon, whether it's for education, environmental protection, clean water, clean air, food safety inspection, total that up. How does it compare to the amount that we spend through the tax code through what are known as tax expenditures, the tax earmarks?
We haven't published an estimate of that, Congressman. I've seen estimates that the sum of tax expenditures is about $1 trillion a year. As I mentioned, the total funding for discretionary purposes last year is about $1.3 trillion.
So we spend almost as much through the tax code for certain constituencies as we spend through the entire appropriations and allocations process through the regular budgetary process. That's the type of spending that we're not talking about today, the tax expenditures.
Committee meetings reportedly have broken down, with Democrats insisting that taxes be part of the solution and Republicans saying no way. Those meetings usually happen behind closed doors. Twice protesters disrupted this public hearing, urging lawmakers to tax the rich and cut defense spending. But at the end, Murray gave no hint of the path they may take.
Over the last few weeks, this committee has been working very hard to find common ground and a path towards a balanced and bipartisan plan that can pass through this committee, through Congress, and get signed into law. We aren't there yet, but I am confident that we are making progress, and I'm hopeful that we are moving quickly enough to meet our rapidly approaching deadline.
It is less than a month away. If they fail to submit a plan to Congress or Congress fails to pass it, it will trigger automatic across-the-board spending cuts throughout the government. In Washington, Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.